Whistle While You Work. We're in the last of the series. This is it. Oh, come on. I got to change the sign. Next week. Whistle While You Work. My prayer and desire, I shared this last Sunday too, is that I can equip you to live spiritually, not just on Sunday, but on Monday through Saturday as well. This morning is one verse, Galatians 2:20, one of my favorites. I don't know, maybe it's one of your favorites. I think it just encompasses the Christian life, what Christ has done for us, but also how then we live by faith. That's what it's the theme for today is work and live by faith. Here it is. I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Isn't that good? That includes everything right there. Father, thank you for your words to us. Continue to speak to us by your word and through your spirit today in Jesus' name. Amen. I shared a few Sundays ago, maybe at the beginning of this, talking about work and calling and life. And I mentioned the theology of vocation, maybe, or the doctrine of vocation. Because our work is a calling. Sometimes we think of a calling, that we receive a calling from the Lord as ministry, or like a pastor or an evangelist or maybe a missionary. They're the only ones that receive a calling. No, that's not true. Martin Luther talked about what Peter had shared, the priesthood of all believers, which means that we're all priests, little priests of the high priest, and that we all have a calling, a priestly calling, wherever God has placed us, whether it be in the family, in the workplace, in the school, in your neighborhood. We all have that priestly calling to the people that we're living amongst. A commentator said this about vocation. It is still God who is responsible for giving us our daily bread. That comes from the Lord's Prayer, right? Give us our daily bread, O Lord. Though he could give it to us directly by a miraculous provision, as he once did for the children of Israel when he fed them daily with manna, God has chosen to work through human beings who, in their different capacities and according to their different talents, serve each other. This is the doctrine of vocation. The Apostle Paul tells us in this verse that because of Jesus we can live in a certain way. The following is from a quote from a book entitled God at Work. I found actually two books by the same title. There are probably more. But Jean Edward Veith wrote this one. He said this, according to the Reformers, remember the theologians and those that were reforming the Catholic Church back in the 1400s, 1500s, the Reformers, each Christian has multiple vocations. We have callings in our work. We have callings in our families. We have callings as citizens in the larger society. And we have callings in the church. The word vocation comes from the Latin vocatio. I like to say that. Vocatio. A lot of Latin words end in that. Atio. Meditatio. Oratio. What's the other ones? I don't know. Atio. Vocatio. At the outset, we need to see vocation, vocatio, not as a matter of what we should do as a Christian worker or as a Christian citizen or a Christian parent, but rather what God does. What God does in and through our vocations. It is God who is working in and through you. God is the one that places you, tells us that in the book of Acts, that at just the right time, he puts you where you are. Okay. What does that mean for me then? That God has placed me right exactly where he wanted me to be. So what's my purpose? What's my place in life? What am I called to do? To shine the light of Christ wherever you are. There's a has anybody been, I know Ray has, maybe Mary too, or others have been to Washington, D.C. I know you have. Others have. Have you been to the Vietnam Memorial? Yeah, okay. That's quite something, isn't it? You can literally walk up to the, it's a granite wall, I believe it's granite, marble maybe, but etched on this long wall, Vietnam Memorial, etched into the marble are the names of those who gave the ultimate price, lost their lives, going to war. And 58,000, in fact, 58,156. 58,156 Americans gave their lives in the Vietnam War. Many will walk along the wall reverently, slowly, without pause. Others will stop before certain names and remember their fathers, sons, and daughters, wiping away tears and tracing the names with their fingers. I remember Dave and I, a friend of mine, went just 4 hours. We were able to go to Washington, D.C., and we ran over to the Washington Monument. We saw the Vietnam Memorial. I remember him taking, he goes, "This is my buddy. I knew this guy." He took a piece of paper and took a pencil and etched onto the paper the name of his friend. Many people do that. For three Vietnam veterans, Robert Bedker, Willard Craig, and Daryl Lausch, a visit to the memorial must be especially poignant, for they can walk up to the long ebony wall and find their own names carved in stone. What? Because of data coding errors, each of them was incorrectly listed as killed in action. Dead, but alive. That's a perfect description of the Christian life. When you think about it, I think Paul's getting at it in this verse. He gets at it in some other verses as well, letters that he's written. I've been crucified with Christ. What does that mean? I know what it meant for Jesus. He was crucified on a cross for us because of his love for us. What does it mean for us? One way to say it is we die to ourself. We die to self. Our selfish human nature. Galatians 5, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Romans 6, for we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Pastor Brian Wolf Mueller says it this way, the law shows us our failure, our faults, our impurity, our imperfections, our sins, and then in the heart of the Christian is the knowledge of our sin, and that produces sorrow and contrition. It brings our sin to light, exposes the sinful flesh and its shame. This is the first part of repentance, worked in us by the Holy Spirit through the law of God. This is the death of the sinful flesh, its crucifixion. The gospel has the opposite effect. That's the law. The gospel has the opposite effect of the law. While the law shows us our sin and God's wrath, the gospel forgives our sins and gives us the love of God in Christ. The law produces contrition. The gospel produces faith. The Lord comes to us with the victory of Jesus on the cross, with his atoning sacrifice and the promise of the forgiveness of all of our sins. The gospel brings forgiveness and life and resurrection. It brings new life. It creates a new heart. We're new creations in Christ. So I'm a crucified sinner, yes. Paul goes on, I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live. But Christ lives in me. Because of what Christ has done for you and me, we no longer live. We've died to self. That's our sinful nature. We still have it. Let's look at a 2-year-old. Look at yourself in the mirror. We all have it. We're still sinners. We're still sinful. We sin. But we're new creations in Christ. We've died to self, yet we are alive to God. Romans 6 once again. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with Him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, He cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over Him. To the death He died to sin once for all. But the life He lives to God. You and I are a new creation in Christ. We work and live by faith. An umpire comes to me yesterday after hearing the news of one of our fellow umpires dying that morning, yesterday morning. And he said, I find it interesting, he says, my father and I had this conversation. My dad asked, who's the first person you're going to meet in heaven? You ever thought about that? Who's the first person you're going to meet in heaven? I said, well, we have a glimpse of that, maybe, from Jesus Himself, I told my fellow umpire. Praise God that I have a witness and a testimony to give to a fellow umpire. And I hope and pray that I'll have more of those conversations. And I said to him, we have a glimpse in John 14. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me, Jesus said. For I go to prepare a place for you. And then I will come back and get you so that you will be where I am. There's a glimpse. Is it Jesus? Is that the first person you'll see? I think so. I don't know. We don't know for sure because we haven't died yet, have we? In the meantime, how then shall we live to be ready for that ultimate day? I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live now in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Thank you for doing that. Thank you, Jesus. It's all gift. So we live and work and move and have our being in Christ. We live by faith. Martin Luther said this about faith. I think I'll close with this. I think we'll talk about faith and then I'll close. And then we'll sing together again. Instead, faith is at God's work in us that changes us and gives new birth from God. It kills the old Adam, makes us completely different people, changes our hearts, our spirits, our thoughts, and all our powers. It brings the Holy Spirit with it. Yes, it's a living, creative, active, and powerful thing, this faith. Faith cannot help doing good works constantly. It doesn't stop to ask if good works ought to be done. But before anyone asks, it already has done them and continues to do them without ceasing. Anyone who does not do good works in this manner is an unbeliever. He stumbles around, looks for faith and good works, even though he does not know what faith or good works are, yet he gossips and chatters about faith and good works with many words. Finally, faith is a living, bold trust in God's grace. So certain of God's favor that it would risk death 1,000 times trusting in it. Such confidence and knowledge of God's grace makes you happy, joyful, and bold in your relationship to God and all creatures. And the Holy Spirit makes this happen through faith. Because of it, you freely, willingly, and joyfully do good to everyone. Serve everyone. Suffer all kinds of things. Love and praise the God who has shown you such grace. Father in heaven, thank you that you have showered your love upon us. You poured out the Holy Spirit into our hearts. You have gifted us with the gift of faith. God, we believe in you. We trust in you. We ask that you would provide the opportunities to walk in that faith to those around us, our friends, our families, our co-workers, our school chums, fellow umpires. God, would you help us, our neighbors, to walk by faith, because we are the light of the world, because you are the light of the world. And we can love because you first loved us. God, thank you for doing that. Thank you for the new heart that you've given each one of us. May we live now in your love and by the grace you give us. In Jesus' name.